And welcome to the Sportscast, May 18th, 2018. 1 week in, the Eastern and Western Conference Finals are on the roll, are going. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. And if you are on iTunes, please leave us a review so it can help us out in the rankings. And on the line, we have Jeff Farr. Jeff, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santiago. Fun to be on again.
Jeff, I got to tell you, man, people kind of like assume after game one that one team could win. Let's start with the Eastern Conference. The Celtics went up 2-0, securing home court advantage. Cleveland did not look like Cleveland like they did with the previous series. I know it's a matchup. How do you see that series so far?
The thing that sticks out to me is just that Boston does a great job of getting quality shots. I don't say that to say that they never take a bad one. You know, it's the NBA. Sometimes you don't get a good look. Sometimes the other team plays good defense. But the Celtics, they just wear you out. You know, the first game, they pretty much just controlled the entire game. I felt the second game, Cleveland played better, and they were in it. But, again, you get late into the third and into the fourth quarter, and before you know it, Boston has a double-digit lead. And the thing that sticks out to me is just that they're so patient and they move the ball. They're equal opportunity. And then, you know, say you do get them late in the shot clock, you know, they have guys that even when you need a bailout shot that can make it, you know, especially Tatum, he's played really well. You know, and on the Cleveland side, game one, I just didn't think they played very well. They shot really poorly. Game two, they played better, but, you know, towards the end, they looked pretty frustrated.
Yeah. LeBron James for game two had 42 points. Kevin Love had 22. Kyle Korver had 11. So only three Cavalier players had double digits. LeBron scored over 40 points, and, like, they still couldn't win. Do you think Cleveland lacks depth, or is just Boston's system just, you know, too good?
I don't like to talk badly about Cleveland because I feel as though that's a popular thing to do. I even saw some people saying they thought that they quit, and I think that's a pretty harsh sentiment. I don't think their body language was great late in game two. I think there were some guys that were frustrated with each other. You know, Jeff Van Gundy had a great line. He said the Cleveland Cavaliers eye roll each other more than, I think he said, people that are getting divorced or people that are in bad relationships. And it's true, their body language isn't great, but I don't think they quit. And I also think that throughout the playoffs, Boston has played a lot better at home than they have on the road. To me, I think Cleveland will win game three. And then I think game four is kind of a big game because if Boston can win that game four in Cleveland, you know, then they could close out the series in game five.
Do you think Cleveland can come back and tie up the series?
They absolutely could. You know, I mean, we look back, and I know the roster's different, and I know it's a different group of players, but when the Cavs were down 3-1 to the Warriors in the finals 2 years ago, I don't think anybody thought they were winning that series. And not to discredit Boston, but that Warriors team was much better than the Boston team that Cleveland's playing right now. Do I think that's likely that if Cleveland goes down 3-1 that they would beat Boston? No, I don't think it is. And I also think that even though the way it plays out, even though it looked this way, Kyrie Irving was a big part of that comeback they had. Now, obviously, he's in Boston and not playing. But even so, when I look at the Cavs, I don't know that I see enough firepower to come back if they get down too far. But I don't think they're done, though. I mean, in sports, we have such a recency bias. You know, we want to make bold statements. I think it's too early to say the Cavs are done.
Yeah, I mean, I still go back to what Ty was saying. You can't underestimate LeBron James, but the Cavs do have to win two games in a row. How I see it, Jeff, is there's a lack of firepower. I totally agree. I just don't see it. I mean, okay, you can say Boston, the stadium was packed. You know, Boston's a tough crowd, probably one of the best sports towns in America. And, you know, tough to, you know, place to win. They could turn it around. If they could win game three and game four, that's the first step, is winning game three, then win game four. But you're right. That game four game, like that game is very important, game four. I mean, we both agree we could see him win game three, but game four is pivotal.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, you know, we talk about firepower with Cleveland. Here's the other thing that I see when I watch. So Boston has Marcus Smart, who, you know, I know he's not necessarily a great offensive player, but he's an energizer and he's a great defender. So Boston's done a good job of rotating a lot of guys on LeBron. And but Smart's a really nice defender, man. I mean, even when you score on him, he really makes you work for it. And when I look at Cleveland's roster, I just don't see that guy, you know. So if you're Cleveland, right, and somebody for Boston gets hot and you decide that you need to slow them down or take them out of the game plan, your best bet is probably to put LeBron on them. But you're already asking LeBron to lead your team in scoring, make most of the plays on offense, and be a top two rebounder. So that's trouble. I mean, that is just, no matter how you slice it, that's difficult. So I just think Boston has those key pieces that you need to win playoff games. You know, you have a bunch of guys that can score. You have that lockdown defender that even if he gets beat is really making your life difficult. So I think there's a lot of things playing against Cleveland in that way.
Yeah, and Brad Stevens, I mean, his precision, like they were interviewing him about before the series, and they were saying, all we need to do is put a bunch of defense right in front of him. And for soccer terms, it's called park the bus. And you just, you know, you have to crowd the court. And he said it's a very fine line, yep, to defend James. So, but it's working out. But you're right. LeBron has to do double duty. He has to have, 42 points. Yes, do it. But he has to do more. And unfortunately, Cleveland, you know, did not, you know, put depth in that squad. And but if they can pull it out, I'll give it to them. LeBron, that whole debate with LeBron being the greatest player of all time, you know, happened last series. But I still think Michael's better. But we'll discuss that in a later time. The next series is Golden State versus Houston. Golden State took game one. Everyone thinks from game one, everyone thought that Golden State is going to win this series. Houston came back and tie up the series. Now, the style of play is dribble-dribble for Houston, and Golden State is shoot-shoot. What do you think about this series? Do you think it's going to be close, or do you think Golden State, after winning game one, they're going to win the series?
Yeah, I wouldn't write off Houston by any means. But at the same time, you know, going back to what we said about the Boston series, who can consistently get good shots? And when I watch, I am just, and this is a little bit biased on my part, so obviously I'm sure there's people that disagree. When I watch Houston's offense, I think you're making it too dependent upon Chris Paul and James Harden. Now, clearly, Golden State has some reliance on Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, and Durant has actually probably ISO'd more than Golden State normally would. But I still go back to, over the course of a series, which offense is going to consistently get you quality shots? And I think that's Golden State. You know, I think they're going to move the ball. They're going to take a lot of threes, just like Houston is. But the difference there is Golden State is going to move the ball and run their offense and get a lot of quality looks. And, yeah, sometimes in transition they pull up and take those crazy threes. But for the most part, in their half-court offense, they're going to get quality shots. With Houston, what I get concerned with is Golden State has some defenders that they can put on Paul and Harden that at least makes them work. And Harden, you know, Harden's going to get his. He's a great player. I mean, he can create in so many ways. He can get to the foul line. He can drive to the hoop. He can hit that step back three. But over the course of a series, I think I just feel better about saying Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I think Klay Thompson as a third option is better than anyone from Houston. So I still lean Golden State, but Houston's going to – they're going to fight. You know, they're going to score a bunch of points themselves. And Houston is no one to be overlooked, I'll say that.
Yeah, Houston had to win game two. That's for sure, to stay in the fray. Obviously, preferably, they should have won game one, but Golden State said, hey, we're the Western Conference champions, we're the NBA champions, and we're going to take you to a different route. But you're right. Golden State has four superstars. If they have one down, they still have three. Houston just has two. Look at the stats. Houston, Chris Paul had 14, had 16 points. Eric Gordon had 27. Trevor Ariza had 19. PJ Tucker, 22. James Harden, 27. So they definitely stepped up their game for game two to win it. So we'll see what happens in game three. Now, do you still see this series, what, in seven, six, five? It's going to be – how much do you see it in?
I believe it'll be a 5 or 6 game series. I mean, the big thing here is too, you do see this a lot in any of the sports where there's a 7 game series. If the road team does manage to steal that game one, a lot of times they have a little bit of a letdown in game two. And I don't say that to discredit Houston because they played a really solid game. But I really think Golden State's going to take care of their home court. I'd be surprised if they don't win the next two games in Golden State and then really put the pressure on Houston just to keep the series going. So Golden State being able to win that game one in Houston was a pretty big deal because now they've eliminated Houston's home court advantage. And so Houston at some point, at some point they'd have to win in Golden State, and I just don't know that I see that.
I don't see it. I know that New Orleans did it. You think what should Houston do? Should they kind of, you know, block out Stephen Curry? Would that be enough, or do you think just Golden State's way too powerful? Even if you shut him down, you still have Kevin Durant.
Part of the problem too is when you look at matchups. All right. Maybe in the NBA more than any other sport, matchups are just the biggest part of it. I mean, you remember that 72-10 Bulls team that a lot of people say is the best team ever. I mean, their biggest struggle was stopping the Toronto Raptors with Damon Stoudemire. And, you know, the Raptors weren't even good at that time. So I say all that to say, when I watch Houston play Golden State, both teams have a lot of firepower, but I just don't know when Kevin Durant is playing well. I don't think Houston has anyone that can stay with him. And that's a problem because the thing with Kevin Durant, he can score so many different ways. And I guess if I was defending him, I would keep him outside and just hope that he has one of those nights where he's not hitting a lot of threes. But the truth of the matter is Kevin Durant is just, unless you have a really, really good defensive player, a true stopper, which really there aren't too many of in the NBA right now, I don't know what you do to match up with him. You have to try to make him take difficult shots. But even when you do that, sometimes he shoots a high percentage. You know, even in the game they lost, Kevin Durant was great. You know, so I would try to make Kevin Durant more of an outside shooter. But at the same time, what are the odds that Steph Curry doesn't shoot better than he did in game two?
They say he's the greatest shooter of all time, or maybe within this generation or in the league. Let's just say that. But now with this, you know, all shaping up, what are the chances, in your opinion, to see Boston in the NBA Finals?
I think Boston will be in the NBA Finals. Like I said, you don't want to write off Cleveland, especially because LeBron James is awesome. You know, he's great. I mean, he can do everything. So I'm not writing off Cleveland, but if I, you know, again, going back to if somebody said, hey, your life savings is on the line, who are you taking? I like Boston. And I think Cleveland might beat Boston by double figures in game three, and everybody will obviously – everyone will overreact to that one game just because that's what we do in sports. We overreact and we live in the moment. We have recency bias. But at the end of the day, Boston just, they run a great offense. They get good shots consistently. They play pretty good defense. And I think it's going to be Boston and Golden State. And, you know, unfortunately for Boston, I think that's where the magic carpet ride hits a wall. You know, they've had a great run. I mean, I thought they were going to lose to Milwaukee, and then I thought they were going to lose to the Sixers. Hopefully I'm not the curse here because I think they're going to beat Cleveland. But at some point, you know, you miss having Kyrie and you even miss having Hayward. I think Golden State will end up beating Boston in the finals.
I agree, and I apologize to Boston Celtics fans. I did not have you guys going this deep. I was going for the Sixers from the beginning. All I said about Milwaukee series that Milwaukee, they could be Boston and they could be the dark horse. That's the only dark horse label from the playoffs if they had a chance. And they actually purposely try to get that seventh seed to play Boston because it would be the easiest number two seed, and Brad Stevens has proven everyone wrong. I congratulate him. Do you believe this, that the Western Conference Finals is actually the NBA Finals?
Oh, boy. To some extent, I do. I'll say this. If you look at the four teams left, I think Golden State and Houston are the two best teams. So you could say that. I think those are the two best teams that are left. But you have to be careful here because Boston, we've been writing them off since the first round. So whoever does play them, which, you know, it seems we both feel will be Golden State, but I suppose it could, you know, Houston could pull the upset. But regardless, whoever plays Boston, they better come ready to play because it's really, really difficult. If you go into any series and you're not ready to play, you can't just flip it on and off like a light switch. You know, we see it all the time in the NFL playoffs where a team isn't ready to play and before you know it, we're talking about a one seed losing to a four or five seed in large part because they didn't come ready to play. So whoever plays Boston better be ready. But yeah, I mean, the Western Conference Championship is probably going to determine who wins it all.
Yeah, I agree. If Cleveland's not in it, then it's probably, you know, Western Conference will become the NBA Finals labeled. Game threes are this weekend, tomorrow, 8:30 p.m., Celtics and Cavaliers. Who takes game three?
I think the Cavs will win game three. I mean, they're going to protect their home court. Boston will probably have a little bit of a letdown energy-wise, and Cleveland will also get a bit of an energy bump from playing at home. So I think that'll be the difference. I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland wins it by 8 to 12 points. And if it's closer to 12, people will overreact, you know, like I said. We'll hear people start talking about how Boston's in trouble and all these things. But, yeah, I think game three will go to Cleveland, and then game four is going to be that pivotal game that, you know, might kind of decide which way the series goes.
And, yeah, me too. I go for Cleveland. They're going to win game three. It's a must win. And game four, you're right. I look at that game four as a big game. I mean, bigger game than you think. And that's where you'll see LeBron come up big. You know, so far the series, Boston only struggled with Milwaukee. They didn't struggle as hard with, was it Washington they faced? No.
Philly.
Oh, Philadelphia, that's right. Yeah, Philadelphia was easy. But, you know, Philadelphia's youth was exposed. But they are the team of the future. Sunday night, Rockets-Warriors. Who takes game three?
I think the I'd be shocked if the Warriors don't win. And I don't say that to, you know, to say anything bad about the Rockets. It's just that, you know, I don't think the Warriors feel great about how they performed in Game 2. So they're coming home. And again, you know, you see it all the time when the home court team changes. Whoever's home gets a little, just a little extra juice, you know, a little extra vinegar in their veins. And the away team has just that little bit of a letdown because they were used to playing it on their home court. And sometimes that's the difference. So I think Game 4 will be a better game than Game 3. I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors win Game 3 pretty big. And then, you know, Game 4 will be a little bit of a better game.
Both Game 4s are going to be pivotal, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I think even more so for, you know, for Cleveland, it's even bigger, because if they go back to Boston down 3-1, they're in a ton of trouble. With Houston and Golden State, you know, it's still big, obviously, but that series has been a little bit closer to this point, you know, only 2 games in.
You know that, like, the difference between I seen the Warriors and the Rockets, and maybe Warriors with, like, other teams, is that the Warriors got these players from the start. There are rookie contracts, you know, and they lay their foundation. Golden State did it from the beginning. They got, you know, Curry, they got Green, they got Thompson, and even Livingston. And the Rockets, you know, they all put it together, like, in the past 2 years. But, you know, if you're ever owner, Jeff, think about it. Lay your foundation early on.
And the Livingston signing was a good one. I mean, you know, Livingston was a guy that a lot of people thought his career was over, and he bounced back from that horrific knee injury. So, you know, that was a quality signing. The Iguodala signing was a quality move. So I agree with you. You know, the Green, Clay, and Curry that were the foundation, and then obviously they brought in Kevin Durant and just put him over the top. But They did a lot of smart things there. And what I'll be curious to see, I don't know if Clay will stay in Golden State when his contract's up, you know, or if they'll really be able to keep him with already having Curry and Durant. But that would be the time where the rest of the NBA might have a little bit of an opportunity to catch up. But if they keep those three together, boy, that's, unless your role players fall off a cliff, that's really difficult. So I agree with you. You know, Golden State built the foundation, and then they made those couple extra moves to kind of put themselves over the top.
Yeah, we'll see what happens this year, but it's looking like a Warriors championship. I'm calling it already, but obviously it might be early sometimes because my predictions could be wrong. On personal news, Jeff, you're gonna have you're gonna be a father this week, I hear.
Not this week. We're 2 months out.
Oh, 2 months. Wow, I totally read the news. I read a lot of news. But it's coming up. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're excited, man. It's keeping the Fulver name going.
Yeah, keep it going, man. You got to keep it going. Well, Jeff, this weekend, big week in sports, and NFL's pretty quiet right now.
It is, but that won't last long. You know, we have rookie mini camps, and then I know this sounds crazy, but August is not that far away now. You know, we're already getting close to June here, and summer always goes by quickly. So, yeah, I'm excited to see. You know, I think the AFC is finally going to start to be a little bit more respectable outside the Patriots. And maybe, maybe Tom Brady finally starts to slow down a little bit. We'll see.
Yeah, you're right. I had a feeling that it could be this could be his last season, but I've been saying that for the past 5 years. There was big news in the NFL this week, actually. The Panthers finalized terms. They got a new owner, David Tepper. So, I mean, obviously the Panthers are a good team anyways, but, I mean, this is good news for the Panthers, I guess.
What's crazy about that is that apparently he paid for it in cash.
Wow, so, that's crazy.
I mean, having $2.28 billion just kind of laying around isn't the worst thing in the world, you know.
But, is that most expensive franchise now?
It was the most expensive American sports franchise that had been sold.
Wow.
So I don't think the highest situation, but it was the highest that had been sold.
Man, imagine how much the Cowboys cost.
Yeah, especially after building that stadium, I'm sure they're worth a pretty penny.
They're the number one sports team that sells like the most merchandise or like the most expensive franchise in the world.
I wasn't aware of that, but that it makes sense. They've been around and they've been popular.
More than the Yankees, more than Real Madrid, more than Manchester United. So Jerry Jones is going to have a good retirement check once he sells the team.
I think he'll be okay. Yeah.
All right, Jeff. Well, thanks for coming on the Sportscast. And which game will you be seeing on tonight? I mean, this weekend. Which one you'll be seeing closely?
I would think I'll pay closer attention to Cleveland and Boston. Just, you know, not that I'm writing off the Rockets, but I think the Cleveland-Boston series, despite the bigger separation right now, has a better chance of changing the outcome than the Rockets beating the Warriors.
Yeah, that's going to be a big big game. I think both games are pretty big, but like the Boston series is definitely going to have the edge. All right. Yep. NBA is coming down to the wire. Jeff, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me.